worship this morning. At this time, I'll ask our congregation to please stand in honor of our graduates.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day, on this special day. It's a day of celebration, this day of remembering. And we're excited that you decided to join us this morning for worship. If you are a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. I would ask you, if you have an opportunity, to fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you. You can drop that off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. And thank you for filling those out and letting us know about your visit with us today. If those that are watching this morning on Facebook Live this morning, welcome. Thank you for joining us online this day. I encourage you, if you have an opportunity, you can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for our time of worship this morning, but also for ministries going on in the life of our church. For those gathered here and those gathered online, I do want to remind everybody that this afternoon at 1:30, we do have our monthly worship service at Blakey Hall. That is at 1:30 this afternoon. Everybody is welcome to come and participate. It is an exciting time of worship at 1:30 on the second floor there at Blakey. We always have a wonderful time of worship, so come join me at 1:30 this afternoon for that. Also, reminder, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, we continue our adult Bible study, Reckless Love. That is 4 p.m. upstairs in the fellowship hall. And this afternoon's session, the title of the session is Open-Hearted Love, where we're going to be talking about how we're called to show love to all, to everyone. So I encourage you to come join me at 4 o'clock for the study today. You can also watch that study on Facebook Live today as well if you can't join me in person today. Youth Intensity will also meet tonight at 5 p.m. Looking ahead to this week, as you look at our calendar, reminder to team number 5, you'll be serving the meal at Joe's Diner at Allied Churches this week. Choir rehearsal this week is at 6:30 p.m. I do also want to remind our church family that next Sunday afternoon, we will have our quarterly roundtable meeting. That will be next Sunday at 4 o'clock here in the fellowship hall. So I encourage you to come out for this time of meeting, this kind of update, and hear about what's going on here at the life of our church. Now, a couple of things you heard me to talk about last week are a couple of things that you need to be reminded of this week. The first thing is about the deacon nominating ballots. As you walked in this morning, on the table where you picked up your worship bulletin are little half sheets that look like this. They talk about our deacon nomination process for the upcoming year of 2025 and 2026. We are seeking to identify 3 new deacons for this upcoming year, and we need your assistance. The deacon nominating team needs your help. So please prayerfully consider picking up one of these ballots and writing down a couple of names of individuals that you think would be good stewards of serving the body of Christ. And that's what a deacon is called to be. So pick up one of these ballots, write the names down. You can drop it in the offering plate. You can drop it by the church office. These ballots are due back next Sunday, okay? So even if you don't fill it out today, pick it up, take it home, and bring it back by next Sunday for the deacon nominating team. Also, last week you heard about a new ministry here at First Baptist Elon called Connection. This ministry is about reaching out to those in our church family, connecting to individuals. The focus is praying for our church body, visiting our church body, and sharing about what we find out about our church body. Pray, visit, and share. If you're willing to do those three things here at First Baptist Elon, you're called to be a part of Connection. Last week you had these bright, shining note cards in your pew. They were located all over the place. Now look in your pew today. Do you see any of those? No, you don't, because David picked all the left ones up this past week. But they're located on a table out in the foyer. I made it even easier for you this week. So as you leave the sanctuary today, you can pick up one of these note cards, and all you simply have to do is write your name on it and drop it in the basket if you're willing to be a part of Connection. We hope you will. It'll be an exciting thing, exciting part of our ministry here at First Baptist Elon. Of course, you've heard about our May mission in-gathering for Allied Churches, Joe's Diner, picking up spices they use throughout the year. Today is our last Sunday for that collection, and you will be seeing more ministries coming up in the life of our church. Our June newsletter will be going out the middle of this week, so make sure you keep your eye out for that being sent out the middle of this coming week. But we gather here today to worship. We gather here to celebrate. We gather here to lift praise as the Holy Spirit moves in this hour. Let us worship our God this morning.
Good morning again. It is great to see you all here this morning. As you can see behind me, our choir is not quite what it has been in the past, but that's okay. That's okay, because we have a congregation that is filled with choir members that are just waiting for the opportunity. And today is your opportunity. So as we sing to you this morning, I'm going to ask that you sing to us, and together we will be one grand church choir singing praises to our Lord. Please stand and join us in singing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
This morning, I also want to thank, and I had it written down, but I forgot to mention, I want to thank Keith Price, who's filling in today as our music leader, our choir director, as Gay continues to heal. As you can see, she moved from the back row to the front row. Yeah. I don't know what that means about next Sunday. Maybe she'll be up here. We never know. Maybe she'll want to preach next Sunday. Gay, you want to preach next Sunday? Okay, good excuse. Anyway, but it is good to have Gay back with us. But Keith, thank you for filling in today for our choir. Our opening scripture reading this morning is Psalm 67, reading verses 1 through 7 this morning. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. May the peoples praise you, O God. That's why we're here. We are his people. We're here to praise him this morning. Let us pray this day. God, we remember with wonder and joy that your spirit is reaching everywhere, rejoicing in the liveliness of all living things, touching what is wounded or ill with healing power, gathering in the lonely, the lost, the least, soothing ancient animosities, creating and recreating a vision of hope. Come now, Holy Spirit, let our worship rejoice in you and lift our hearts and bind us in one family of loving grace. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, our grand choir did a great job on the first one, but I think we can be better. So if you will, please again stand with us and sing God of our fathers.
Over the past few weeks, families have gathered to celebrate the achievements of high school and college seniors as they have crossed the finish line and finished up their studies at their respective schools. Whether these graduation ceremonies have taken place in auditoriums, gymnasiums, sports stadiums, or even front lawns on college campuses, the same feelings of joy, pride, and probably a little bit of sadness has been expressed. Those same emotions are celebrated here this morning on this day at First Baptist Elon, as we also say congratulations to our respective high school and college seniors. Things will not be the same in the coming months, but I want to share with these two graduates who are here with us this morning one simple truth. Now, I've already shared this truth with our other graduates that are unable to be with us today, and they're hoping to join us in a couple weeks back here at First Baptist Elon. But that truth, and that simple truth, is this: you will always have a home here at First Baptist Elon. That is a truth that I have said to every graduate that has ever walked across this stage or gathered here. You'll always have a home here. So no matter where the journey takes you, whether it is taking you down the road here in Alamance County, or across this state somewhere, or across this country, or across this world, know that you will always have a home here at First Baptist, no matter where you go. Don't ever forget that. This morning, two of our graduates are able to be with us, and this morning when I call their name, I'm going to invite them forward to receive a gift on behalf of First Baptist Elon. Then I'm going to allow them to share where they're graduating from, any future plans that they may have. Now, for our graduates that are missing, we're going to try to have them back again on a Sunday coming up in June. But this morning, I will share those graduates that are not with us, their names and the schools that they are graduating from. Now, what I will ask, and I've already asked the family members to do this, as I recognize each graduate this morning, if their family members will please stand. We all know that they, our graduates, did not achieve these accomplishments alone. Just as they have stood, their families have stood beside them through the years of their academic achievement. Once again, we want you to stand up beside them and stand up for them as they're recognized this morning. So we begin with our lone high school graduate this morning, recognizing our one graduate, that is Wes Carroll. Come forward, Wes.
Hey, my name is Wes. I just graduated Friday, and I'm going to App in the fall. I'll be majoring in electronic media and broadcasting. And I've been here for like, I don't know how long, like 10 years, been going here. Everyone here's been so nice to me, so I just thank you guys. Thank you very much.
Wes has always been one of few words. And most of the time, Wes is sitting back in the back behind the computer screen running our technology on Sunday mornings. But Wes, congratulations as you graduated from BCA. And we look forward to your great achievement at Appalachian State this next year. And Wes, just to let you know, we have a lot of people that go to Appalachian State on a regular basis. So all of y'all App fans, y'all go check on Wes. They're all over there. They'll come check on Wes when he's up there in the mountains this next year. Now for our college graduates. Our first college graduate who was unable to be with us today is Olivia Allred. Olivia is graduating from North Carolina State University. She already has a couple weeks ago. She has a Bachelor of Arts in Mathematics with a minor in Accounting. Our next college graduate, also unable to be with us today, but also graduating from North Carolina State University. Her parents are here today. John and Sally, you want to stand up in honor of Catherine today? Catherine graduated from NC State with a Bachelor of Science in Chemistry with a minor in Biology and Environmental Toxicology. So congratulations to Catherine. Now our next college graduate who is able to be with us today is Garrett Howard. Garrett, come forward.
Congratulations. Thank you. I appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. My name is Garrett, like David said, and I graduated from UNC Charlotte with a degree in marketing. And right now, for my plans, I'm just going to work part-time and just look for any marketing jobs that are available. So if anyone knows anywhere, it'd be great. I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So anybody has anybody know anybody in the marketing field, make sure you talk to Garrett this morning. Our next graduates, we have two Elon students who have joined us over the last couple years. It's been a great joy to have them with us. And then unfortunately, they're unable to be with us because they graduated on Friday and are moving out and moving back home. These two Elon graduates are Olivia McManus and Lydia Totten. Olivia is graduating with a Bachelor of Science in Exercise Science with a minor in Biology. Lydia graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Marketing with a minor in Finance. And both of them wanted to express their love to our congregation, the love that you have showed them over the last couple years. And both said, "You will see us again." That's what they were, their words were. Make sure you share with the congregation that we will see you again. So they send their love, and were unfortunately unable to be with us today. Our next two graduates, college graduates who are unable to be with us today, graduated from Appalachian State University. First, Jacob Pritchard. Jacob is graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Geography, Community, and Regional Planning. Jacob also is looking for a job, so if anybody has anything in this field, please let me know and get in touch with Jacob. And then our final college graduate is Patrick Roof. Patrick graduated from Appalachian State University with a Bachelor of Science in Building Science with a concentration in Construction Management. And I'm pretty sure Patrick's already working in this field pretty close. So be in prayer for Patrick as well. But let's have a round of applause for all our graduates this morning. This morning, I want to pray for our graduates who are here and their families, and I want to pray for those who cannot be with us today, as you all begin a new chapter in your lives. I pray that you will listen to the Spirit as He guides you in these next steps. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, as we celebrate this significant milestone, we give thanks to you for the journey that you have brought us to this day. As our graduates step into this next stage of life, we ask that you nurture their minds with wisdom and their hearts with courage. May they grow in integrity and compassion as they face new challenges and opportunities. Help them to seek knowledge, not only in their next schools and their next careers, but in all aspects of their life. Father God, we pray for guidance and direction for these new grads. Help them to have a tender heart to recognize your Spirit's leading and to clearly hear when you call and how you choose to speak. Please make their path straight and clear and help them not to lean on their own understanding, but in every way acknowledge you, knowing you have their best heart and mind. Father God, inspire them to contribute positively to the world around them, to make connections and sustain communities, and to show love and kindness in their actions. Encourage them to keep learning, exploring, and reaching beyond their grasp. May they always be aware of your presence and open to the changes that you bring. Grant them the strength to make a difference in this world, to remain humble in triumphs and resilient in trials. We lift our graduates up to you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A final gift today that we have for our graduates is something that we like to do every single year, is a remembering time. A series of pictures through the years of our graduates, provided by your families, of course. I don't think either one of these graduates have seen these pictures, so it's always a lot of fun there as well. But I do want to say what we've given to you today, not just what's on, shown on the screen, but what I gave you in your hands, is one of the most important things that you'll ever have, and that is the Word of God. Whenever you're seeking trouble, whenever you're looking for direction, turn to His Word, because you will find direction there. Turn to His Word when you're seeking guidance. Turn to His Word when things are great. Turn to His Word when things are not so great. In His Word, you will find Him. And that's who we look for. So today, again, I hope you enjoy the picture presentation, and I hope we all enjoy it. It should be a little bit of fun.
Packing up the dreams God's planted in the fertile soil of you. Can't believe the hopes He's granted. Means a chapter in your life is through. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone. Cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know and life is worth the living just because He lives. 'Twas sweet to hold my newborn grandson and feel the pride and joy He brings. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He
offertory prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning with praise in our hearts. Praise for Your name, the holy name above all names. You alone are worthy of our worship, and we praise You today. As we receive offerings, Lord, help these to be used to further Your kingdom. Remind us daily to thank You for being a God of love, a God who cared so much to sacrifice Himself for us on a cross. Remind us constantly that You are also a God of life, a God of abundant life here on earth, and even more abundant life in Your kingdom for eternity. As the graduates go out, Lord, help remind them every day that they serve a living Savior, one who cares about them, one who cares about all of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This weekend, we remember the service and the sacrifice made by the men and women of our armed forces through the years. We remember and reflect on the soldiers who made the ultimate sacrifice so we can hold fast to the freedoms that have become the foundation for our country, one of which is the freedom to gather openly and freely on a Sunday like this to worship. On this day, this weekend, we remember. At this time, I'm going to ask our entire congregation, if you are able, to stand in honor of those soldiers, both men and women, who have given the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country. If you are able, please stand at this time. As we stand, I ask that you bow your head and have a moment of silence in honor of the fallen this day. Let us pray. Father God, until there is no more war, and you wipe away every tear from every eye, we will remember. We will remember those who have served and died for the sake of something greater than themselves. We will remember and give thanks for the men and women who knowingly put themselves in harm's way so that others might be safer. We will remember the families who grieve this day and every day for brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, daughters and sons, friends and spouses who lost their lives while wearing the uniform of our country. Father God, until you beat swords into plowshares and the ox and lamb lie down together, we will remember. We will remember that peace doesn't happen without peacemakers, and violence won't cease unless we stand in the breach and begin to repair it. We will remember that war is costly, the price paid, and priceless lives cut short. Father God, until the Prince of Peace returns and death and crying are no more, we will remember. We will remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice in service of their country. We will support those left grieving in their absence. We will remember to seek reconciliation, knowing that while we cannot control the ways of the world, we can seek to work for peace in our own lives and in our own communities. Father God, until there is no need for men and women to place themselves in harm's way, we will remember and give thanks for those who did and died. In the name of the one who grants us the peace that passes understanding, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Again, may I say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship this day. I also want to give a little bit of thanks, or a lot of thanks actually, to Jill on our piano over here. She doesn't like to get a lot of attention, but Jill is filling in at the last minute for our normal pianist, Bert. Bert is under the weather this weekend, so please keep her in your prayers. And Bert, my guess is you're probably trying to watch right now, and we're praying for you this day. But Jill, thank you for filling in at the last minute. I want to thank all of y'all for joining us for worship on this Memorial Day weekend. For all those who may be traveling this weekend to visit family and friends, we pray that they enjoy this time, and we pray for their safe return home back today or tomorrow. And as you have already heard, and as you can see, we have two reasons to celebrate today. First, we celebrate as we remember those soldiers who have given their lives in order for us to have the freedoms that we have and experience today. Men and women in our armed forces have willingly placed themselves in harm's way to keep our nation free. And we are thankful for their sacrifice. We're thankful for their service. And as we remember those who have given their lives, I also like to remember on this day those Christians who have given their lives and laid aside their personal wishes to further the kingdom of God as well. But second, today, we celebrate the graduation of our senior students here at First Baptist. One of the great joys that I have as a pastor here at First Baptist is getting to watch as these students, these two young men in front of me today, grow up into the mature, driven, and gifted men that God has made them to be. I've been able to celebrate some of their big moments along the way. I remember talking with Wes the first Sunday after he got his driver's license. What a wonderful conversation that was, and all the fun he was going to have in the coming days and weeks. That's a conversation we'll keep between just me and you, okay? But what a great conversation we had. I remember talking about basketball games, track meets over the last year, AP classes, ACC professors as well, and the list goes on and on. With Garrett, I remember the soccer days back in middle school and high school. I remember serving on the mission field back with you on youth mission trips in the past, not to mention beach retreats, mission projects, youth week, and the list goes on and on. As we all got to see the pictures just a few moments ago, we were able to see some of the changes through the year. Obviously, the physical changes, but the changes that took place around these times, each of which has been celebrated by your families. But my point for you this morning is simply this. Your lives, actually all our lives, but your lives are a series of graduations. From school, to work, to retirement, our lives are never intended to be a time where we just stop being. Even those of you who have been around a lot longer than maybe I have, and who've been through the battles of life, and who have been Christians for a long time, the phase of life that you are in right now is intended to be a graduation to a new level from where you previously were. But you're not done yet. You're never at that plateau, at that level where you are done. God has a plan for you to move on to that next level. Another graduation. It may be, it probably will be, different for each and every one of us. But we're not there yet. So don't think that just because you graduated, you're done. And it may not be, you may be done with formal education, but you're not done yet. And Wes, you're not done with formal education yet. Yes, I plugged that for you parents. Got good? Okay, got that in. You're not done with formal education, but you're not being done. You're not done for what God is trying to make you. And that goes for everyone. We're all graduating. We don't stay still. God is preparing us right now for our next level. And that's why my sermon this morning is titled, the next phase of life. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 this morning. We're going to read through chapter 4, verse 12 this day. If you remember, when the Bible was put together, it wasn't divided into chapters. That was put in later on to help us when we're reading to make it a little bit more easy. And while you're turning to the passage this morning, I do want to give you a little bit of history on the letters to the Corinthians. Now, in your Bible, you will see that there's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And we may assume that Paul only wrote two letters to the Corinthian church. Most biblical scholars will say that's not right. Paul actually wrote multiple letters to the church at Corinth. And the letter that we're actually reading today from, the first part of 2 Corinthians, is believed to be the fourth letter that Paul wrote. There's a first letter that got lost to history. It's actually referred to in 1 Corinthians. We don't know what it says, but it's out there somewhere, we assume. We just don't know where. 1 Corinthians in your Bible is the second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and it was dealing with some theological issues, questions of ethics and morals that the church had for Paul after he had founded the church. So he wrote this second letter answering some of the theological questions. Well, after that letter was written, some people showed up to the Corinthian church while Paul was away and started distorting what Paul taught. Also, distorting Paul's reputation and basically saying, you shouldn't listen to what he said, you should listen to what we have to say, and twisting his theology around. Well, Paul heard about this and he got a little upset. And so he wrote what is called the angry letter back to Corinth, basically saying, what are you doing? What are you thinking? And that angry letter, most scholars believe, is the second part of 2 Corinthians. It's actually chapters 10 through 13. Well, once they got this letter, they read it, and they were like, okay, we need to get back on what we're supposed to do. And they got back in line, and they got following what Paul had taught them. And so then Paul hears about this, and he says, good for you. And then he writes a fourth letter, which is a kind of a conciliatory letter, a I'm proud of you letter, like I'm going to come visit you, and it's going to be a happy visit kind of letter. And that's the first part of 2 Corinthians, chapters 1 through 10. And that's where our passage comes from today. So reading from what is considered the happy letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 through 4, verse 12. Listen to these words. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have the treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. If we are to follow God's leading, as Paul suggests in 2 Corinthians, The first truth that we must recognize is that we are in a graduated state. Let me explain what that means. If you are a Christian, then God has ordained you to be in a continual state of change. I know that word change always strikes fear into the hearts of even the most seasoned of Christian warriors. We don't like to change. We like to get to how we want to be, and then we're good, because that means we're comfortable. But we are in a state of change constantly if we are filled with the Spirit. And I ask you that question today. Do you or do you not have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you? Verse 17, Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, your translation may say liberty, but both words come from the root word that means unrestrained or exempt. So what are we as believers unrestrained or exempt from? Paul has written this in the context of comparison of faith versus law. So in this case, the law represents the tradition that has bound the Jewish people up and kept them from becoming what God had wanted them to be. So Paul is saying, as believers, we are set free from tradition that says everything has to be the same way all the time. We're set free from that. You don't have to be the same way all the time. You're free. You're free from it. Nothing is confining you to that. And parents, I want you to put your fingers in your ears for a second, and grandparents too. You get to be who God has made you to be, not who your parents or your grandparents think you ought to be. That's freeing, because while they have raised you, God created you. And God has created you to be in a constant state of change. And when you are filled with the Spirit and you are moved by the Spirit, He is going to do some incredibly fascinating things that even your parents or your grandparents can't even realize. So don't let their expectations of you constrain you, because your God, our God, is greater. Okay, parents, you can take your fingers out of your ears now. God wants you to be a graduate student of His grace and His word and His purpose for your life. I want you to hear that again. God wants all of us to be a graduate student of His grace and His word and His purpose for your life. Graduates, what does that mean for you? Your education is not done. And your education is not only going to come from the classroom. More so, become students of His word, of His plan, of His purpose for you. Saturate yourselves in Him. That goes for all of us. We should be saturating ourselves in Him, not anything else, in Him. In verse 18, Paul talks about us being transformed into the same image, the same glory of God. The word glory literally means recognition. We are intended to be the reflection of God's glory to others. When they look at us, when others look at us, they should see Him. They should see God. Some time ago, a few ladies met in a city to just read scripture passages and to make them the subject of their conversations. Well, while reading the third chapter of Malachi, they came upon a remarkable expression in a verse, and they decided to discuss it and try to find out more about it. It said this, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." Well, none of the ladies knew anything about refining or purifying silver at all. So one of the ladies' thought was, I'm going to go figure out what this means. She thought it meant that this viewed the sanctifying influence of the grace of Christ, but she wasn't sure. So she said, I'm going to go visit a silversmith, and I'm going to go watch how making silver happens. And so she did, and she said, I'll report back to you what I find out. So she went to the silversmith shop, and without telling the silversmith why she was there, she begged to know the process of refining silver, which he fully described to her. At the end, she asked this question, but sir, do you sit down while the work of refining is going on? Because that's what scripture said. Do you sit down? And he responded, oh yes, madam, I sit down. I must sit with my eyes steadily fixed on the furnace. For if the time necessary for refining silver be exceeded in this one single degree, even the slightest degree, the silver will be ruined. It will be injured. So I sit there watching. And when I know it's done, I pull it out. The lady at once saw the beauty and comfort too of the expression in scripture, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, talking about God. Christ sees it needful to put his children into a furnace. His eye is steadily intent on the work of purifying, and his wisdom and love are both engaged in the best manner for them. Their trials do not come at random. Our trials do not come random. He doesn't take his eyes off us. He's sitting there watching us, making sure he's going to pull us out or making sure we're being refined in the right way. As the lady was leaving the shop that day, the silversmith quickly called her back and said, I forgot to mention one thing, though. The only way that I know when the process of purifying silver is complete is when I can see my own image reflected in the silver. That's when it's done. The same is true for God, and the same is true for us. We are being changed into his image. And when others look at us, when we're purified and made the right way, what other people see is him. The second truth we must recognize is that we are being changed, we are being molded and changed for the battle. If we read the opening verses of chapter 4, we can see that Paul was trying to prepare the Corinthians for the battle that was being waged against them from the outside world. Can you see that there is a battle being waged today? The gods of the world will do everything that they can do to keep people from being saved and in a community with God. They will also try to blind the eyes of believers to keep them from seeing and hearing and trusting God's word and promises for their lives. What was once denounced as sin, even in this world, is now being proclaimed as good and right by a culture that has been under the control of the gods of this world since the fall of man. Many, unfortunately, even in the church, attempt to twist the words of God so that it loses its power. You see, Satan does not mind the church that is bound in tradition and limited in power, but he really gets upset. He gets worked up over a church that is operating in the power of God and in the Word of God. Graduates, this morning, it is of vital importance, and I don't use that word lightly, vital, which means of life. It's of life importance to be connected to a community of believers. Whether it's an established church, a Bible study group, a small group, whatever, find a faithful group of believers who you can count on to pray with you and pray for you, to study God's word with, and to worship together. Find your place. Find your place, because that community will provide you vitality in the Spirit. And that'll help you graduate to wherever God's next level or phase will be for you. The final truth that we must recognize is that God is making us ready already for the next challenge. In verses 8 through 10, Paul is completely honest with the Corinthian church. He says things are not going to be easy. And things aren't going to be easy. The world is going to be pushing in against you, pressing on you, crushing you, and it will sometimes seem overwhelming. Yet God is already preparing you right now for the next challenge, whatever it will be. It is not something that we can handle on our own. Yet He has equipped us with life through the Holy Spirit to give strength and for direction for whatever challenge the next phase might hold. Whatever that next challenge is, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, God knows already, and He is already preparing you for this. And that goes for everyone. God is preparing you with the gifts, the resources, the individuals to help you through it, if we count on Him and don't try to do it on our own. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Now, does this mean we are supposed to subject ourselves to pain and torture and persecution just so that everyone can see that we are like Jesus? No. But we do know that Jesus walked the path before us, so we can trust that He's been there and He is there for us when we are experiencing parts of that same path. Now, Wes, this does not mean that you do not study for the exam coming up next semester at App State, because you know that God is going to be right there with you and He'll help you through it. That's not what it means. Because guess what? God is right there reminding you to study as well. Words of wisdom. Garrett, this does not mean you just drop that perfect job opportunity and don't send in your application in, because God is going to drop that perfect job in your lap. Now, He might, but guess what? Sometimes it requires a little motivation on the front end. Seize the opportunity. God's preparing you, both of you, for whatever is next. He's right there with you, opening doors, making you aware of that next phase. And when you both are walking through difficult times, whatever it may be in that next phase of life, because you will, they'll be there. We all will. We're all going to be there. Know that you're not alone. We're never alone. He's there. He's been there. He'll always be there. And He has and is preparing you for those times right now. In closing this morning, you're not done. Congratulations on graduation, but you're not done. You can quit. You can give up. You can let the enemy have his way on earth or in your life, but it's not over. You may have graduated from one phase of your life, but there is a new degree to be earned, a new phase of life waiting for you. Don't forget that you live in a graduated state. You are a reflection of God's grace and glory to the world. God has changed you and making you ready for the battle through His Word, through His Spirit, and through the gathered community of the church. And you're ready for that next challenge, whether you believe it or not, whatever it might be and whenever it might come. God is preparing and equipping you with the resources, the gifts, and the relationships needed to move forward successfully. So I ask you this morning, I ask all of you this morning, are you ready for that next phase of life? Are you ready? I think you are. God knows you are. But what do you think? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for continuing to move us to that next phase, preparing us in advance. Father, I thank You for our graduates. I thank You for their achievements, but I also thank You that You are already looking ahead, preparing them for that next phase of life. Father, it's amazing how You see it all. You're preparing each and every one of us for the next steps in our journey. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your guidance, Your Spirit that is with each and every one of us this day. Amen. As we come to sing our closing hymn today, maybe for the first time you recognize that God is here with us and He is ready to lead you for the first time and you're ready to embrace Him. I'll be down front. Come and talk with me this morning. Maybe you're looking for a church family that's seeking to be that guiding community that seeks to support you. First Baptist can be that home. Or maybe you're just struggling, going through a difficult time. I'll pray with you. Come down front. The altar's open. Whatever you need this morning, don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing this morning. Standing for our reception.